Parshas Yisroi is probably the most important, noteworthy parash in the entire Torah. I mean, that is defines Kabbalah Torah, Nasiv and Nishma, Klal Yisrael coming from a hodgepodge nation to Am Segula, to a nation that has been chosen by Rabbeinu Shleilam to represent him, and we've chosen Rabbeinu Shleilam to represent us, as it were. And therefore, it's a very, very special parasha, but it begins, if you want to understand it, on a very, very low key. Now, this big parasha, Noich Hashem Alekecha, Hashem Yitzei Sicho, begins with Vayishma Yisroi Koyen Midian Choysen Moshe. We have a whole story with Yisroi. Yisroi, Koyen Midian, the priest of Midian, Choysen Moshe, father of Moshe, Eiskal Asho Oso, Elikim, Le Moshe Yisrael Amoy, everything he did to HaKosh Baruch Hu, did to Moshe and to Yisrael, his nation. Ki Yehoitzi Hashem Es Yisrael Me Mitzrayim, HaKosh Baruch Hu took place on Mitzrayim. Very, very nice. Now, and the parasha carries on, the parasha of what Yisroi did, or what Yisroi was thinking, and eventually, the good, classic, in-law, piece of advice that comes at the end, loy toiv is not good and change, etc, etc. In other words, he made a major, major impact. There's no doubt about it, Yisroi was very special, no doubt about it, he was unique. But why begin parasha with so much talking about Yisroi? Exactly what, exactly when, exactly how. Rashi says, Vayishma Yisroi, what did he hear? What did he hear? Mashmu Hashemabot, what did he hear? Says Rashi, Chris, Yamsuf, Mechames, Amalika, Chris, his motive, his actions. Why is it so important? Especially, if you just know, there's Machlokes Tanoim, when actually did Yisroi come? There's Machlokes, some under Omrim say, that Yisroi came actually after Matan Torah. And others say he came before Matan Torah. So if he came even after Matan Torah, there's even more strange why we have before the Matan Torah this gap, this sort of advertising gap. You know, we had Chris Yamsuf and Sitz Mitzrayim. You know, sort of, and now then we've got a short space for advertising, and then we've got Chris, and then you've got the Kabbalah Torah. If Yisroi came after Torah was given, why do we have this whole parasha of Yisroi before the Torah was given? So it's very clear that there is a strong shaychus between the introduction to receiving the Torah, what we have to know before we get into receiving the Torah of Dibros, and the sugya of Yisroi coming to Moshe Rabbeinu, coming into the Midbar. There must be the mudim that learn from Yisroi that ultimately is going to teach us how to accept the Torah, that without that we will not have the keys and the tools to be able to receive the Torah correctly. So let's go into this first pasuk, and this first pasuk is full of diukim. Vayishma Yisroi koyhen midyon choysen Moshe. Yisroi heard, as we said before, what did he hear? He heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. So, Chazal tell us through Midrashim that every person who's drinking a cup of tea or swinging on their hammock or a Coke in a restaurant is split. They split. Every person felt the ripple effect of Kriyas Yamsuf. Everyone. The whole world heard about it. So, what did he hear about and make him come? I mean, it's obviously, it wasn't unique to him. Everybody heard it. Everybody in the world heard it. Yeah, that they saw Ness literally a storm in a teacup. I mean, that's Mamash where he came from. Right? A storm in a teacup. That's exactly what happened. And nothing happened to them. Why Dafka was it that Yisroi was the one who made it across? I gave one pshat, and it's on the Tolls of Ram Yitzchok website, www.tollsoframyitzchok.com. Yeah, in Yiddish. I'm not going to go that pshat. I want to go with the new Mahalach, which I saw this year. Number one. So what's by Yishma Yisroi, Koyen Midyon? What did he hear that was unique to him? Everyone heard it, so what made him come specially? Secondly, it's a bit of a busha. You know, if a person's a chairman, the idea is to represent and compliment the one you're calling up in the most beneficial way for the tzibur, and the most complimentary way for the person you're calling up. You don't call up, imagine it standing at a chasna, I'd like to call up, today, we have the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ex-Dalai Lama, Archbishop of Canterbury, Midyan himself, Yisroi himself. You know, come on, cut it out. You're dealing here with, he's left that behind. Yeah, he's done, he's moved on, right? He's come now to the Midboy, wants to become a Jew. He's not anymore a Koyen Midyan. He's an ex-Koyen Midyan. You got it? He's done, finished. Right? So why called Vishma Yisroel Koya Midian Chay? What a busha! It's in the Torah. He's a Baal Tshuva. He wants to do Geirus. Leave him alone. Why pick up this Koya Midian business? Fine. Granted. You know, he wore all the t-shirts. He was the authority of Avodah Zarah. Fantastic. Lovely. But he's done that. So why bring that in? Koyan Midyon Chesem Moshe, you know, just say Chesem Moshe, give him the comma Chesem Moshe. And even more than that, everyone knows who Yisrael was. You learned a couple of parashas beforehand. It says very clearly exactly who Yisrael was, the whole story with Moshe Rabbeinu and with the Be'er, and you got Yisrael, and Yisrael told his daughter to bring Moshe Rabbeinu in. We know that Yisrael was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, Moshe married to Zipora. What's the deal over here by Yishma Yisrael? What did he hear? Something unique? Koyan Midyon Chesem Moshe. What's the deal behind this? It says Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Fantastic. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that every person in their little world wants to get an extra family member who is similar to them. Let's take an example. Let's say a big Hasidic Rebbe has a daughter that he's brought up. He's got one daughter, very special daughter, and she'd be going to Yiddish speaking kindergartens, and she'd gone to a very unique primary school and to a secondary school, and she's really been brought up very, very choshev a girl. And this big Hasidic Rebbe has got tens of thousands of Hasidim, you know, and they won't admit it, but everyone dreams of marrying this daughter of the Rebbe. You just imagine the mitzvah tants. Can you imagine a long white gartel? Yeah, and you've got like the color standing there, and the thousands of Hasidim. And he can just, all of them are just dreaming about that, right? What does this Rebbe take? Who does he take? He finds a fantastic bocher from Ponevich. A clean shaven bocher from Ponevich. Yeah, completely as Litvish as you find. He doesn't know anything about Hasidus. He doesn't even know what this Rebbe was. He never even heard of this Rebbe, right? He just knows, you know, he's Choshuv because, you know, his great-great-grandfather wrote a Sefer, which is sometimes used in the Yeshiva. That's all he knows about Hasidus, beginning and end of it. And he takes his Bocher as a Choshuv a Bocher. Imagine what the newspapers will be saying, the Hasidic newspapers, the Bekehillah, you know? Imagine they'll be full of this. And imagine the photos at the Chasna. You've got all the big Strimals and the Bekichers and the Spodiks, and you name it, and he's standing there with his clean shaven and his white tie. You know, it's unbelievable. So it takes, if this Bocher is the best Bocher, and there's going to be a Godel Hador, it takes great, great Gvura of the Rebbe to take such a bocher, because everyone is also going to be, you know, unbelievable, your head, Santa Masa, you know, everything is going crazy, and this Rebbe takes him. Vayishma Yisroi Koyin Midyon. Yisroi then was a Koyin Midyon. He was an Archbishop of Midyon. He knew all the Avodah Zarah. He knew exactly what's going on. Absolutely, he was the authority. Comes this Apikirus Gomor with Avodah Zarah. This Jew who believes in one God, who's the biggest atheist as far as Avodah Zarah are concerned. Moshe Rabbeinu. He turns up on the scene. And Yisroi has the guts. Yisroi stands up and says to all Midyon, you know what? I'm the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I'm the Archbishop of this, and now I'm Hel Selesi and Harry Kishka, and you name it. Makes no difference. I am taking this guy as my son-in-law. Why? Because he's got Midas Tovus. That's godless. Vayishma Yisroi koyhei Midyon choysa Moshe. When he's still a koyhei Midyon, he became a choysa Moshe. He became a father of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was greatness. Why? Because Yisroi had the capacity to stick to the truth at any price. If it's true, I'm going for it. What do people say? It doesn't interest me. What's society going to think of me? I don't care. I'm going to go for it. So what gave Yisroi the koyach of Shmir that nobody else had? That I don't care where it goes from here. If it's true, I'm going to go for it until the very end. Vayishma Yisroi. Yisroi heard. He heard the same as everyone else, but everyone else was afraid to make that big step. Why? Because who knows what's going to be with my family? Who knows what's going to be with my job? Who knows what's going to be with society? Who knows? Who knows what's going to be? He was the only one, like Mashmua Shama Ubo. What made him come? That was because he had the capacity to be at the same time Koy Midian and Chosin Moshe. That shows a tremendous lesson of broad-mindedness of Yisroi. He was somebody who was mevakesh and mevakesh and mevakesh. He seeked and he looked and he searched and eventually found Klal Yisrael. And that's how he can be a Koy Midyon and a Chosin Moshe. That gives a koyach to the Yishma Yisroi that he can come along and do something nobody else did. That's Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Let's carry on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Eis kol asher oso elokim leMoshe uYisrael amoy." Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Moshe and to Yisrael amoy. So, a lot of the Mefarshim ask, really, Rashi asks, why say Moshe or Yisrael? Moshe is part of Klal Yisrael. Says Rashi, Shokul Moshe connected Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is Shokul to Klal Yisrael. But still, even so, it should say, it's Kol Asher Oso Elokim LeYisrael UleMoshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a prat, he was a detail of Klal Yisrael. Don't say the detail and then say the klal, the principle. Say the principle and then the detail. So it should say, "Eskal Asher Oso Elokim LeYisrael UleMoshe." Why did it say UleMoshe LeYisrael? So the Kotzker says a beautiful vort. He says Yisroi understood that a big step has to be taken. There's no doubt you're going to make a big step, and the step is so big that it's going to take a tremendous price. But how does a Kohen Midyan, how does a person steeped in Avodah Zarah, who was the world authority, the encyclopedic knowledge of everything Tum in the world, he wore all the hats. Yeah, he wore all the hats. He absolutely, he was, there's no person who knew more about Avodah Zarah than him. And he practiced them all. And he found everyone, each one, and he did this, and he did that, and he did that, and he did this. I mean, he must have had in his wardrobe at home an orange robes and black dog collars and all this stuff, all the craziest things. Why? Because that's what he did. And eventually, he became a Jew, right? How do you leave all that behind? How do you step from a Kohen Midyan to a person in Klal Yisrael, completely perish from all the shtus, from all the Avodah Zarah, from all the Tumah? How do you do that? Says Akotsky, you know how you do it? You get yourself a Rebbe. You get yourself a Rebbe. He said, getting yourself a Rebbe is a step towards connecting with Rebbeinu Shleilam. Oboy Sidbok. So the Gemara, how can we be Sidbok? How can we connect with Rebbeinu Shleilam? Rebbeinu Shleilam is Kulei Eish. Rebbeinu Shleilam is fire. How do we connect to Rebbeinu Shleilam? Says the Gemara, Oboy Sidbok. Koladovik bechachomim kiladovik beshchina. If you connect yourself to Tzmir Chachomim, it's as if you connect yourself with the Shekhinah. And therefore, what did Yisrael do? Eis kol asher oso elokim leMoshe uYisrael. If I want to connect with Klal Yisrael, if I want to connect with the godless of Klal Yisrael, I'm going to connect with Moshe first. I get myself a Rebbe like Moshe. I get myself a connection to Rebbeinu Shleilam. Eis kol asher oso elokim leMoshe uYisrael. Klal Yisrael got their Shefa. Klal Yisrael got all the brachas because they had a Rebbe like Moshe. And therefore, when you connect yourself to a Rebbe, when you connect yourself with Gadlus, that brings down a Shefa. That makes you great. Es kasha oso lekim, leMoshe, and therefore Yisrael. Because of Moshe, the Gadlus came to Klal Yisrael. Now, you're going to see soon that he missed a point. He believed that everything is the Rebbe. Okay? We'll see soon that he missed a point. But the fact is, that this is a principle that we have to know in Klal Yisrael. Number one, you've got to be broad-minded. If somebody is going to teach you a halacha, and that halacha is going to be emes, it doesn't matter how far in life you are and exactly what you're doing, you've got to be willing to hear, to consider it, and change if necessary. Reb Moshe Feinstein, as far as I know, put on tefillin when he was close to 90 years old. Rebbeinu Tam tefillin. Yes, thank you. I put on tefillin when I was 13. Yeah. Rebbeinu Tam tefillin when he was close to 90 years old, he changed and put Rebbeinu Tam tefillin on. Godless! Because he heard. Interesting, the letter he got was from the Bavitcher Rebbe, it's backwards and forwards in Igros Moshe. But he wore Bein Tanfin at 90 years old. Willing to listen, willing to hear. If it means to change, I'll change. That's step number one. The full of Torah is given, be broad-minded. Be willing to listen, be willing to change. Number two, connect yourself with Godless. Boy Sidbok, connect yourself with Godless. The Gemara says, Kol ha-nehneh mesuda shetamul chochem. A person whose nehneh from mesuda tamul chochem is by it's as if you've had a connection with the Shekhinah itself. Why? You're sitting down by a table. He's eating. You're eating. He gives a bit of shirayim. You eat. What's the big deal? You're sitting there. Okay, it's different Torah. Fine, it's different Torah. But ki'ilu, you got shaykhus with the Shekhinah. The answer is, besides the Torah, of course, and the mitzvah being with Tamil Chachamim of Kovod HaTorah, there's a certain element of Seichel HaYosha. A certain element of straightness of thought, of dedication to the MS, of selflessness that one learns from great people. And that can make a difference across the board. I'm telling you a very good story. I heard this story from Yaakov Galinsky. I must have heard it about 25 years ago. I still remember him telling it in school. He came to my school in London. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is the mashgiach, the Roshiva of one of the Negev, one of the big yeshivas. He's one of the biggest, greatest mashgichim, Rosh Yeshivas in today's generation. He must be quite old already. He's very short, very, very short, but tremendous. He's from Nevadik, the old Nevadikas. Gewaldig, you know, you hear him speak, you don't forget what he says. Fantastic. And I read this story over recently in Rav Zilber Shein's Sefer on this week's Parasha, and I remember the way he says it, it's very similar to the way it's written in the Sefer. He said, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky in the Second World War was sent to Siberia. And when he's in Siberia, he was put on a 40-day starvation diet for teaching Torah or learning Torah. And at the end of the starvation diet, he got a hot plate of soup. And you can imagine the Siberian soup was not the cream of tartar with asparagus layer on top. And it was who knows what soup it was, but it was soup that they never got when they were in starvation diet. And he was sitting there, and he brought him his plate of soup, and he started to eat it. And next to him was a Jew, a secular Jew. His name was Cholev, a Russian Jew, Cholev. And he sat there, and he was eyeing Yaakov Galinsky's soup, and he was also on a starvation diet. And Rabbi Yaakov, this is 40 days he hasn't eaten properly. He was absolutely ravenous. And his soup was like the unbelievable in Olam Haba. Sitting next to him was this Jew he'd never knew. And he was on a starvation diet. So Rabbi Yaakov said to himself, Yankele, Yankele, are you going to eat the soup? And this Jew's not going to be able to eat the soup. You have to give him half. So from his precious soup, he poured out half his plate to this Jew he didn't know at all. Ad kana kof alef. That's it, end of the first part of the story. Years later, Yaakov Galinsky made it out of Siberia, and he made it across Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, the Chazon Ish began with the Gdolim, something called Pe'ilim. And the Pe'ilim were a group of very idealistic Bochrim that were under the tutelage of the Chazon Ish and other Gdolim, and they were there to break down the secularism of the state and to bring as many people to Yiddishkeit as possible. Nebuchadnezzar had camps of immigration camps where people used to come as immigrants, as families come as immigrants, and the Zionists used to put them in the camp and used to make sure that very soon they had very little connection with their parents, and they would go to secular schools to forget all about the Yiddishkeit, to indoctrinate them with Zionism. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky and another Bocha, one of the big poskim today in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't say who it was, was told by the Chazon Ish to go into these camps where the parents still are with the children and get a list of which parents want to send their kids to the frum schools. And once you have a list, then it's much more difficult to stop the parents doing it. But the parents never were aware there was frum schools and there's such an option. You get a list and say, listen, you want to go to a frum school? And they say yes. Legally, it would be very difficult for the government to go against the parents' wishes. So this camp, this absorption camp, is completely surrounded with barbed wire and high fences. So ask the Chazon Ish, how do we get in there? Shame on the Feirish. What do we do? So Yaakov Galinsky says, Chazon Ish said, dig underneath the fence. Almost like a tunnel. Dig underneath the fence in the middle of the night, but the next morning you get under there and you get inside there and you start speaking to the parents. So him and the Rebbe, I mean, this is a Bochrim, Shiva Bochrim. It's like a Mossad operation here. They dug. By the next morning they got underneath the fence and they're inside the camp. And what do you do? So they sort of like, they keep a low profile and you go around and you call over parents very quietly. But after a very short time, they were chapped, they were caught. And they had two Yiddish-speaking madrichim, they were called then, who were in charge of the group, and especially made them only people who understood Yiddish, because they did not want them to speak to the boys, they didn't want to speak to the parents. There should be some kind of language barrier. They shouldn't speak one with the other. So these two big Russian madrichim who spoke Yiddish caught Yaakov Galinsky, who's about 5'1", 5'2", and his chaver, and they said, what are you doing here? So Yaakov Galinsky pretended he didn't understand Yiddish. So he started speaking to him in Ivrit. So they got very, very frustrated. So they said, you know what? So he doesn't understand. Get out of here! So Yaakov Galinsky said, well, yeah, Didn't understand what they were saying. He said, listen, okay, wait here on the side. So they started speaking to each other, and they said, obviously Akilinsky understood, let's call Cholev. Yeah? The head madrik's called Cholev, let's call him, let's see what he has to say. Yakov Galinsky, thinking, who's Cholev? I've heard that name before.
Cholev.
Ah! He's the guy I gave my soup to! Years and years ago in Siberia. Lo and behold, a few minutes later, this head madrik comes along, and in a second he recognizes Yakov Galinsky. And he gives him a hug and a kiss. And these two madrik, these guys are terrorists. You know, they're coming to the thing, get him out of here. So Cholev says to him, Yankele, you know, what can I do for you? Should I show you the way out? He says, no, I know the way out myself, thank you very much. I need you much more than this. I need you to help me. So he remembers he's starving. He remembers sitting in there in the camp. Yakilinsky gave him his soup. And he realizes, Yakilinsky's got him by the throat. He needs to give a chorus of toiv. He said, listen, I want you to go around and get a list of all the parents who want to send their kids to Frum Moisud. He said, I can't do this. Yakilinsky says, you can. You owe it to me. So the man said, okay, wait till the other madrichim leave, I'll do this for you. That night he got a list of 65 families who wanted to send their kids to a Frum institution. Out of those, most of them, not all of them, Ruba de Ruba, the vast majority actually managed to get their kids into Frum education. That's a Talmud Chochem doing a meal. Talmud Chochem, this Chorev, what Olam Haba he got? What Olam Haba? He had a Suda with a Talmud Chochem? Yeah, and he got tremendous Olam Haba Doiris. He got the Shechina. What Shaykhus does he have to Kedusha? What Shaykhus does he have to Rebbeinu Shleilam? Sitting with a Talmud Chochem at the table, that's what did it for him. And that's godless. Mm-hmm. He felt, so Yisrael felt, I've got no Shaykhus to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. How do I connect with the Rebbeinu Shleilam? If I get a Rebbe, the Shefa of Klal Yisrael will come through Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'll go through to Klal Yisrael. But the Maisa, he missed a point. Later on in the parasha says, if you look in Perikut Ches Posuk Ches, Vayisapim Moshe Lachoyisnoi, Moshe said to his father-in-law, Eis Kalasha Osa Hashem LeParoi Ule Mitzrayim, what Hashem did to Paro Mitzrayim, Al Oidas Yisrael, because of Klal Yisrael, Eis Kalat Lo Hashem Osa Maderach, all the problems happened along the way, Vayatzilem Hashem and Hashem saved them. Vayichad Yisrael had a tremendous reaction. One said he got very happy, one said he got very sad, or he did bris milah, whatever it was, but it's an amazing reaction it caused. Asks the Dublin Magid, Vayisapim Moshe L'chayis, and Moshe said over to him, Eskol Asher Osa Hashem L'Paro Mitzrayim. He's heard all that. That's why he's here. Yisrael is here in the Midbar because of what happened to Klal Yisrael with Mitzrayim. So what's Vayisapim Moshe? Moshe is telling him, what, he's just being polite and just listening politely. Yeah, so what's Moshe telling him? Eskol Asher Osa Hashem L'Paro Mitzrayim. What's he telling him? So the Dovid HaMagid said, a Mori de Gavot, obviously with a Moshe. And he said, there was once a father of a girl who was looking for a shidduch, and eventually they found a boy that they found or thought was very suitable. So before they wanted the boys to meet, and a boy and a girl to meet, they wanted to meet the parents, and the parents come over to the house and meet with them and get an impression of the house. And the maisa, unfortunately, the parents of the chosn were quite money orientated, and the parents of the kala got to hear about that. Fine. So they came to the house and they laid out a meal, all the best gold-plated chinaware, the silverware, linen tablecloths, best food, fantastic. Laid out an unbelievable meal. These people are very impressed. Psh, I think it could be compatible. Yeah, I think my son should go and date the daughter. Fantastic, Baruch Hashem. This should have happened. Mazel tov, they got engaged. A couple of months later, they came to discuss the wedding plans. They come to the house. There's no silver there, b'chlal. There's no gold-plated chinaware. And you know, the chosn's father says, you know, excuse me if I ask, but I'm really sorry, you know, but what happened to all this stuff? So the guy said, oh, I'm very embarrassed. What can I tell you? He said, I owe somebody money. And what he did was, he took away all my stuff until I pay him back. And, you know, when I pay him back, I get it back. But the time being, I can't pay him back. He took all my stuff as a mashkin, as a collateral. And you know, that's the way it's all gone. So this father, Chosn, Baruch Hashem, fantastic. I'm so relieved. So what are you so relieved about? He said, because I thought, in the back of my mind, I was wondering whether maybe you borrowed all this stuff. Maybe it's all from a gemach. Who knows? Where the gold and the silver, maybe it's not yours, Bechlal. And therefore, when I hear that somebody took it for a debt that you have, shows that it is actually yours. Yes, it's yours. But right now you don't have it. So Baruch Hashem, I know you didn't fool me. I know your aunt lies. And I know that you really potentially have money. But right now you actually don't have it. Okay? That's a moshel. Says the Dublin Magid. That's Peshat over here. Yisro believed that everything that happens to Klal Yisrael is because of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he's worried. What happens when you don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu? What happens when you don't have a leader who goes up to Shemayim? What's going to be with Klal Yisrael? Why should I join up with a nation who is actually has a survival and existence only because I have a rebel at Moshe Rabbeinu? As soon as he's gone, that's it. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayisapim Moshe Rechoyis, and Moshe said to his father-in-law, Eis Kasha Oso Hashem Aparim Esfayim Al Oidas Yisrael. Don't think for one second that what happened to Klal Yisrael is a Maizuchus. On the contrary, everything that happened to Paran Mitzrayim is Al Oidas Yisrael is because of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael have the schus, and that is why the Nisim happened to them. What's a proof? All the terrible things happened to Klal Yisrael on the way. As soon as Klal Yisrael misbehaved, what happened to them? Amalek came along, and all these terrible things happened. Why? Because Klal Yisrael are the ones who produce the merit. And once so don't have the merit anymore, they own the schusin, they own the chinaware, they own the silverware. As soon as they don't have the schus, it gets taken away. And that's why it's called Klasha Sosa Maderech. But see them, Hashem save them. The Yichad Yisro is very happy. In other words, what he's saying over here is as follows. That Klal Yisrael have a relationship with Gedolim and Gedolim with Klal Yisrael. And I want to say over in a way that Klal Yisrael are like the water in the tap, and the Gedolim are like the tap that turns on the water. You can have a tap that turns on and on. If there's no water supply, nothing's going to come through. Yisrael understood that Moshe is everything. He's a water supply and the tap. Everything. It's all him. And if there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going to be? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, no. I am the tap. Gedolim have the power to bring down the Shefa from Shemayim. That's true. That's Das Torah. Shefa in Nisim, of course. But Shefa also in Das Torah, in Mahalach, in Derech HaChaim, following them in the correct way, looking at a problem with Torah digger eyes, that's true. But the Siyata Dishmaya, the merit come through, the water supply is from Klal Yisrael. It's all because of Klal Yisrael, it's not because of me. And that's a very, very important principle. The principle is that on one hand, Klal Yisrael had the Shaykhs to the Gedolim, but the Gedolim had the Siyata Dishmaya because of the Schus of Klal Yisrael. And therefore we must never think, oh, you know, we aren't living in a Dora like Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu today. No, but we have a Klal Yisrael. We have tremendous amount of Chesed and Torah and Maisim Tovim and Tefillah that give the Gedolim the Koyach, and therefore we've got to use them correctly. So that is the second and the third lesson. The first lesson was the idea of being broad-minded, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The second lesson was a Kotzke lesson to understand that Yisrael felt that to connect with Gadlus we need to Tamidah Chachomim. The third lesson of Dubna Magid that explained to us that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Yisroel, don't think it's all from me and Klal has nothing to do with this. The chus and the merit come because of Klal Yisroel. Now I want to move on to Chassam Sofer. This Chassam Sofer is a fantastic Chassam Sofer. He says as follows. He says, if you look in the beginning of the parasha, back to the first pasuk again, listen to this carefully. Very, very beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Yishma Yisroel Koyen Midyon. Okay? Yisroel Koyen Midyon heard what? Says Rashi again. Ma shmiya shama, what did he hear? Kriyas Yamsuf Mechemes Amalek. Fine. Now, how do we see that within a parasha, within a pasuk? Vayishma Yisra koyim lechoyis Moshe. Eis kalasha osa elekim leMoshe. What uli Yisrael amoik yehoytzi Hashem es Yisrael Mitzrayim. Look in the pasuk carefully. Eis kalasha osa elekim leMoshe Yisrael. Use the lashon elekim, right? Elekim. Yisrael Amaki Hoitzi Hashem Esol Mitzrayim Yudke Vovke. It's not Hashem, it's not Yud Yud, it's Yudke Vovke Shem Havaya to Klal Yisrael. Why is the pasuk begin with Elikim and then change to Hoitzi Yudke Vovke Esol Mitzrayim? What's the idea behind it? What's Peshat over there? Also, Eis Kalasha Oso, Rashi explains, we're talking about, let's talk about Amalek. Yeah? Be Yiris Amon, Amalek. Right? It's Amalek. Okay? So therefore, when it talks about Eskalasha Oso, Elohim is referring to Amalek. Ki Yehoitzi, Esesom Mitzrayim, is what? Take them out of Mitzrayim. Right? Says Rashi, Ki Yehoitzi, Zu Gedula Kulam. That's greater than all of them. Greater than all of what? What's Rashi saying over here? It's greater than what? Greater Kriyas Yam. It's the greatest of all of what's Peshat over here? Listen to this beautiful, beautiful Chassam Sofer. He says of this. He says, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to get Paroi out of his comfort zone and follow out Klal Yisrael to go to the Kriyas Yam Sof. What did he do? His Mechabed Es Libo. He made their hearts hard. Why? Because Paroi saw that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim v'chamushim. Hamushim means they were armed. Yeah? They were armed. They took with them arms. Took with them artillery. Correct? Paroi thought to himself, why are they taking artillery? Why are they taking weapons? You know why? Because they need to fight a physical war. Moshe Rabbeinu is losing it. Whether it's magic or whether it's chusim, no longer can they rely on miracles. They've got to go and fight themselves. Therefore, if they're fighting a physical war, now we're back on equal playing fields. Man on man. Oh, this is man to man. Let's go and fight like a man. Let's go there and wipe them out. And therefore, Paroi went to Kriyas Yam Suf. He went to the Midbar with Chamushim. He went with the arms, also very well armed, in order to fight Israel, Klal Israel, man to man. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made them win. Chaloshim miad Gbori miad Chaloshim miatim miad Rabbi miad miatim. He could have made them win that way. What did he do? He made a nace shloipi derech hateva. He made a nace of Kriyas Yam Suf. Correct? That's what happened. Made a nace shloipi derech hateva. So Paroi went with a fight that was physical, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped them out in a way that was shloipi derech hateva. He wiped them out with the spiritual. Correct? Came Amalek saw Kriyas Yam Suf, and Amalek said to himself, ah, look at this. Here they are about to have a fight, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes them out. Shloipi derech hateva. You know why? Because Klal Yisrael can only be wiped out with Shloipi derech hateva. That's a koyach of Klal Yisrael, Shloipi derech hateva. And therefore the Pasuk says, in last week's parasha, that Amalek came with kishuf. They came with magic. Yeah, they came with magic, and that's how they tried to wipe out Klal Yisrael. What happened over there? What happened? How did they have a fight? Yeshua took them and they had a physical fight and they won physically. So Amalek came with spirituality and they wiped out physically. Paroi came with physicality and they wiped out spiritually. So that's Peshat over here. Vayishma Yisroi, Mashmo Shama Abo. He heard Kriyas Yam Suf and Melchemes Amalek. He heard the two opposites. That when it comes to spirituality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes them out physically, and when it comes to physically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes them out spiritually. By the way, Elohim is always Midas Hadin. There is always Api Derach Hateva. So it's Kol Asher Osa Elohim the Moshe Yisrael is referring to Amalek. That was Api Derach Hateva. Uli Yisrael Amalek Yehoitzi Hashem Esom Mitzrayim. He took Hashem Yudkei Vodke Lo Api Derach Hateva. He wiped out Mitzrayim Shlo Api Derach Hateva, which was a Moridigunes. Okay? So he saw, listen to this, he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a power whenever he wants to wipe out spirituality, physicality, and physicality, spirituality. Okay? He has complete control over the world. The question is, asks Yisro to himself, if that's the case, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both cases have to do this? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not do something much more simple? Take away the will of a Amalek to fight. Take away the rotzen of Mitzrayim to run. Give them a low, they have a very low self-esteem. Yeah? And give them a very low, you know, they have very little will to go out and fight. Make them all extremely tired. That's it. They can't be bothered. Let them go. Why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take that away, brought them to fight, then he needed Nissen? What's the idea behind that? Says Yisrael, you know why? Ki hoitzi Hashem es Yisrael Mitzrayim. Hoitzi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out Klal Yisrael al korcho, something HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like to do. What did Hashem not like to do? Paroi was willing to allow Klal Yisrael to leave after 5 makas. Yes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I'm going to be hachadus libah, I'm going to interfere with your bechira. I'm not going to allow you to. That is a most difficult thing. Zeu, ze gedoyla kulam. The fact he hoitz Hashem is from Mitzrayim, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu interfered with Bechira, that is, says Rashi, ze gedoyla kulam. The fact there has got to be a fourth, that is the greatest, most difficult thing for Hakadosh Baruch Hu to do. In other words, Hakadosh Baruch Hu can win wars. Hakadosh Baruch Hu can split seas. Hakadosh Baruch Hu can do everything, but one thing he won't do. Unnecessarily, he will not change a person's Bechira. So look in this posuk. Vayishma Yisroi. Yisroi heard. What did he hear? He heard Mechemes Amalek and he heard Kriyas Yamsuf. He heard when it came to Mechemes Amalek, it was, Elikim. It was done through Derech HaTeva. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf was done. Kihoitzi Hashem. It was done through Nisim. Right? But he felt, he knew, the most difficult thing is Kihoitzi Hashem is on Mitzrayim. Koyach HaBechira is the most difficult thing for Kodesh Baruch Hu to change. Says Yisro to himself, after Kodesh Baruch Hu is so powerful, but he will not interfere with Bechira, means this is how powerful man is. How Kodesh Baruch Hu will do everything in the world to save Klal Yisrael. He'll do Nisim, he'll make wars for them, he'll fight, he'll do everything. But to change a person's Bechira is up to him. And if he wants to do something, nothing will stop him. If that's the case, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo. If I had the koyach to do Bechira, if I had the koyach, that is the most difficult thing in the world for Coach Brock to change his Bechira, which means I'm in control, I have my own koyach of Bechira to come along now to the Midbar and become a Jew and leave everything behind and make a new start. That was what made Yisrael come. He saw the Kriyas Yamsuf, he saw the Mechemes Amalek. You see the opposites, right? Hashem and Elikim. And he saw Kihoitz Yisrael Mitzrayim, that what the most difficult thing is, to take away Bechira. And therefore, with understanding all that, he realized how strong Bechira is. He took the message on board and he said, if that's Koyach Bechira, I'm going to use my Bechira and make the biggest change in the world. I'm going to come from Kohen Midyon to Yisrael and become part of Klal Yisrael. That, says the Chassam Sofer, is a fantastic piece. There, Gedoyla Kulam, says the Chassam Sofer, this is the most difficult thing to change Bechira. Kihoitzi, which means Al Korcho, to stop Paroi being allowed to let Klal Yisrael out and stopping him from Bechira, Zehu Gdoila Kulam, that is more difficult than even spitting seas or making Muhammad for Klal Yisrael. That's a Koyach HaBechira. Mamash Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay? I want to finish off with one beautiful, beautiful piece from Rav Schwab. One beautiful piece. And it's a kasha that everyone knows. And I just want to finish off with it's a piece that I've heard many years ago. I saw recently Rav Chaim Shmal Sefer as well. Mayim Beis Sheva is brought down in the Sefer Mayim Beis Sheva Rav Schwab. A fantastic piece. Yisroi, until now, he's been working with his own Bechira. Correct? Mashmua Shama Hobo. He's thinking about this. He's been thinking about that. He heard this. He heard that. He heard a Kodesh Baruch Hu's strength. He heard his Kodesh Baruch Hu's Bechira. This was Yisroi. What about us? We've got to understand Bechira. We've got to understand the Koyach of Gedolim. We've got to understand the Koyach of Klal Yisrael. We've got to be broad-minded. But what about us? Are we supposed to be Yisroi's Talmidim at everything or not? So there's a Pasuk, Rabbi Yisai. The Pasuk says, Vayoyal Moshe. Vayoyal Moshe is a Pasuk in Shemois that talks about, the Medrash says over there, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to marry the daughter of Yisroi. Correct? What did Yisroi say to him? With pleasure. But you've got to make a Shavuah. And the Shavuah is that your first child would become a Ben Oved Avodah Zarah. He'll be an Oved Avodah Zarah. Yeah? He'll be an Oved Avodah Zarah. Says a Pasuk, that was the agreement they made. Moshe Rabbeinu allowed his first child, Eliezer, to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's what it says. Vayol Moshe. Oh, sorry, Gershon. Ma Vayol. Ela Omala Yisrael Moshe, Mechilta brings down. Kibol Alecha Dovazesh Oimalecha. You accept yourself upon one thing, V'ani Noisen Lecha Tzipurel Ish, I'll give it to my wife. Omala Moshe Mahadova, what is this thing? Omala, you said to him, Ben Shiyilecha Tchila Yil Avodah Zarah. Your son, that your first son you have, should be for Avodah Zarah. Mekam Ve'elech L'Shem Shemaim. After that, it could go to Shem Shemaim. Ve'kibol Olov, and Moshe accepted it. Omala Yisrael, he shoveli make a Shavua. Vayishavale made a Shavua, Shnema Vayoyal Moshe, Vayin Olo El Shavua. Vayoyal Moshe means a Shavua. Rabbi Yisai, one second. What's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu You know, negotiations can fall apart at some stage, sometimes by Shaduchim. Yeah, but first child of Avodah Zarah, what's going on? Number one. Number two, what's Yisrael want over here? He knew at that stage what was real. Why? The Pasuk says the reason why these girls are having so much trouble with the Royim was because he resigned from his post of being an archbishop. He realized Avodah Zarah is garbage. So now, he realized Avodah Zarah is nothing, and now, this is what he wants from his first grandchild, be Avodah Zarah. What's going on over here? Thirdly, there's an unbelievable medrash. Listen to this medrash. The medrash Tanchuma brings down Chukas. B'shor she'olam Moshe l'morim. Listen to this carefully. When Moshe went up to Shemayim, Shoma koyle shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshik v'Oisik v'Parashas Paradoma. He heard Rabbi Yishonim being Oisik in the Suga Paradoma. Holcha halocha b'shem Oimra. He said halocha in the name of the Tanna. Eliezer b'ni Oimer, Eliezer, my son, i.e. the Amora Rebbe Eliezer, Eglo bashnoso or poro bashtein. An Eglo means a year old, or poro is 2 years old. Oma Moshe Lefonov. Moshe Rabbeinu heard this. He said, Rabbeinu Elamim, Rabbeinu Shleilam, Yehi Rotzoin Shiyehei Mechaltzi. Let Eliezer, this Rebbe Eliezer, be from my grandchildren. I promise you he'll be from your grandchildren. And that's why the Pasuk says, and one of Moshe Rabbeinu's children was Eliezer. That special one is Eliezer. Now, what's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim and he hears something about Por Adonah. Fine. And he hears Rabbi Yishoyim saying over something about the Tana of Eliezer. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I wish I had Eliezer like that. So Hashem Kosh Baruch said, yeah, don't worry, you have an Eliezer. The Pasuk says, V'shem ha'echel, one of his sons was Eliezer. One second. Eliezer of Moshe Rabbeinu's son was not the Rebbe Eliezer, the Tanna who came hundreds and hundreds of years later. And Moshe Rabbeinu had this tremendous cheshed to have Rebbe Eliezer, his enikel, and Moshe, Hashem said, yes, I'll give it to you. What's going on over here? And Por Adumo, I mean, what's so inspiring? What's this? So he explains as follows. We all know that a Por Adumah is a chok, and Shlomo Melech said, I understand everything, but one thing you don't understand, it's distant for me to understand this. Okay? Now, what's so difficult to understand? Moshe Hadarshan says, yes, listen to this carefully, Moshe Hadarshan says, in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, the reason why I have Por Adumah is to be a kapora for the Chet Eagle. Ba imo, umekaneach soyaspano. Let the mother come along and clean up the mess of a child. So the Por Adumah, yes, is there to clean up the mess of the egel, the little calf. So here we have a reason behind Por Adumah. So why is it a chok? Okay. Now this pshat dafka works if you say that a pora that we're talking about can actually have children. Then we have Moshe Darshan's pshat that the pora that could have a child, i.e. the egel, is coming to clean up for the egel. But Reb Lezer says pora bashnaim. The Pora Adumah that the Torah says is going to be a Pora Adumah is 2 years old. The Mishnah says in Bechairus that a Pora of 2 years old cannot have children. So if that's the case, this Pora that could be a Pora Adumah, that could be 2 years old, can't have children. So if it can't have children, it can't be that Peshat and Moshe Adarshan anymore. Because it can't come along and clean up for this child, it can't have children at all. And therefore, Rabbi Isai, what we're left with, Why do we have the Por Adumah? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for. Ribbono Shel Olam, I made a deal with my father-in-law. What is the deal? Chas v'shalom, for 1 second, do you think that the deal was that Gershon should become, you know, living up with the monks in Himalayas? Chas v'shalom. Yisrael said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm just telling you, I know all about Avodah Zarah. I can take your son and navigate him and show him exactly why every Avodah Zarah is garbage. Why the sheker behind every single ism in the world. I can show him. I've been through it. But let him think through things himself. Let him work things out himself. Let him come to the conclusions himself. Because that way he'll be much stronger. But I'll take him. I'm the best Rebbe. I'll show him. You got this? That's why it's wrong. You got this? That's why it's wrong. I'll take him through this. And he'll come and he'll work things out himself. He'll become much stronger through this. And eventually he'll see why there's nothing else in the world but Rabbeinu Shleilim, like I did. And Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to that. He agreed to that. But says Ribbono Shel Olam and says Moshe Rabbeinu, that is not the derech of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not about going out to the big bad world and showing the person, showing your Talmid Chacham, showing your children what's wrong with that and what's wrong with that. We have Mesira. We have Emunah Peshuta. Through generation to generation we have Emunah Peshuta. We believe because our fathers and grandfathers believe that that is their emes. We don't have to necessarily teach the child all the shtus of all, you know, Hawkins and Freud and explain to them why it's sheker. We have Emunah Peshuta. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim and Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Rebbe Lezer is what saying Egel Bash Shnayim. If Egel Bash Shnayim means a Pora Bash Shnayim means that the Pora Duma can already be a Pora Duma at 2 years old, therefore Moshe Darshan's Pshat that the mother's coming to clean up for the child is not true. So why do you have Pora Duma? The answer is because Kachazeh, that's the way it is. That is Messiah. That's what has to be done. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Shalom, Halavai! I wish I had a child that I can give my chinuch like that. That we don't start thinking and investigating why, what, and who. Mi kelekeinu, mi kadeneinu, mi. We don't want to do that. We want to have a Messiah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, halavai, my child could be like Eliezer. What's Eliezer? The pshat in the Gemara that clearly tells us that it's shaykh to have a paraduma without any time at all. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't worry. You're going to have another child who's going to be Eliezer. And that's what the Pasuk says, V'shem ho'echad Eliezer. The Pasuk, V'shem ha'echad Gershom, V'shem ha'echad Eliezer. Echad Eliezer means the miyuchad. The derech, the special way the Klal Yisrael will have of educating the children is V'shem ho'echad Eliezer. That is the miyuchad. That is our mahalach. Yisrael was great. He investigated, he found out, he looked, he searched, he looked, he searched, he found. Eventually he came to Klal Yisrael. Other rabba, tzaddik, fantastic. But V'shem ha'echad Eliezer means the miyuchad, the way that we got to educate our children is not necessarily bring them out to all the shtus, you know, showing them all the billboards and explain, that is what we don't look at. And that is why, listen to this person, this reform rabbi, I explain to you what he's saying is wrong. That is not the derech of Yisrael Saba. That is not the derech that we have. The miyuchad, the derech that we have is V'shem ha'echad Eliezer, is Eliezer, like the Gemara says, that has no pshat b'chlal. We do it because we're told to do it. And therefore, this is why Parshas Yisroi is ultimately before Kabbalah Satorah. It's the keys to Kabbalah Satorah. Number one, be broad-minded. Be willing to listen to other people. You have a chavrusa who's been arguing with you. Listen to him. Maybe he's got right pshat. Maybe. Maybe a person's going to be, he's going to tell you off something. Maybe he's got it right. Be willing to listen to him, number one. That's the Orachayim HaKodesh. The second one was the Kotzkevot that says, Moshe Yisroel, that in order to make a shaychus with Klal Yisrael, sometimes you've got to have a great rebbe like Moshe, because he brings a shefa. On the other hand, we had the Dubna Magid that teaches us that it's Klal Yisrael, Oidas Yisrael, a rebbe. You know, a person can't go to the rebbe and do kol dovar osu shabu olam, you know, everything terrible in the world, and come to the rebbe, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and, you know, and he's standing there shocking fountain in shul with the rebbe. That doesn't help you. It's al Oidas Yisrael. The rebbe only has a schusim if the Klal Yisrael behind him given the schusim. That's a Dubna Magid. Aloydes Yisrael. Then we're talking about Chassam Sofer. The Rebbein Shalom can ultimately run the world on the physical level and on the spiritual level. But there's one thing you won't interfere with, and that is Bechira. And a person has a koyach of his Bechira to change anything. Anything a person can change. He can become from the Koyim Mid into Koyim Moshe. Anything he can change. And finally, we have the last Peshat we brought from the mind base of She'eva, that Lemaisa, the koyach of Klal Yisrael is not necessarily always having to be like a Yisrael following through all the way and finding the potholes and the mistakes of each religion. It's carrying on through Mesorah Yisrael Saba, having Mesorah following through, listening to Talmid Chachamim, not necessarily questioning everything. You know, the Mefarshim say that before we start in Ein Kelekeinu, first say Ein Kelekeinu, Ein Kadenu, Ein Kadenu, Ein Kamakeinu. We know Ein. There's no one else. Then Mi Kelekeinu, Mi Kadenu. Who's like? Who's like? Who's like? But until you know Ein, there's no one like him. We don't start asking questions. And that's the chinuch to give our kids. V'shem ha'echad, the miyuchad, the special way of our derech to be mechanech our children is v'shem ha'echad Eliezer. That it's done through Messiah. That's the answers. If a child asks, of course you answer him. But you don't necessarily have to. You know, I spoke to once a parent who wants to dafka allow children to have free access to internet, and that way, he'll be much more exposed to what's going on, and he won't be so close, and that way he'll know how to deal with it in a great. his child is no longer holding on the derech. He's not on the derech anymore. And, you know, because you can't do such a thing. There's a certain way you got to. There's certain things that Doinim tell us we've got to listen to and you've got to follow it through. Shbizoich b'ez Hashem with these lessons to have a real key to Kabbalah Satorah and receive Noich Hashem Nekecho in our own special and unique ways.
Amen. Amen.